today's message is going to be situated such that it basically applies to believers and non-believers. It's interesting. There's some things that once you're a believer, you've kind of like, you've graduated in a certain way in terms of, you know these things. But there's other things that both believers and non-believers maybe need to be reminded of. And the thing that I'd like to, the place I'd like to start is in Matthew 6, or I'm sorry, it says 6 at the top. Matthew 7, verse 7. It's a familiar verse. It's in the Sermon on the Mount, which is a familiar sermon. Ask, and it will be given to you. Ask. Ask. It's a powerful three-letter word. Ask, and it will be given to you. Ask, and it will be given to you. Our son Andrew's learning to talk little by little. Mama, dada. But many of you know that you can teach a kid sign language. And one of the most helpful things we find to teach Peter and now Andrew first is please. Or more please. That's the complicated version. But I mean, if he does anything like this or anything like this right now, he's getting more Cheerios. Now, here's what's interesting. Before he learns that, all he can do is whine. Catch it? Before he can do that, all he can do is whine. Well, do what? Before he learns to what? Ask. All he can do is whine. Jesus said, ask, and it will be given to you. You know, we complicate Scripture a lot. I mean, most of us, our tendency is to say, well, I'm going to start reading my Bible now and I'm going to read the Sermon on the Mount today. Man, if we started preaching out of the Sermon on the Mount, I don't know when we'd get done. Like 2016 or something like that. There is so much here. That phrase is full of the power of God. It's an unadulterated phrase. It's from God's mouth. It's a promise. He said, ask and you'll what? Receive. Okay, just so you know, it's not just there. This same principle. Look in James chapter 1. It's right before Peter. It says, James chapter 1, verse 5. Man, I'd love to teach in the beginning of it too. Verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God. And then what it says after that is interesting as well. I'm sorry, I'm usually a little better at eye contact. I feel like we're a little, like, maybe I need a lazy Susan under my feet as I serve the food of God. Oh, man. Okay. I thought that was clever. Okay. Let him ask of God. Now listen to this. This tells you something of God's heart. And when it says, if anyone lacks wisdom, you could almost read this in terms of it being a principle. If any of you, for example, lacks wisdom, or if any of you lacks wisdom, for example, do you see what I'm saying? If any of you lacks wisdom, for example, but if you lack wisdom, let him ask who? Who do you ask? God. Who are you going to call? God, okay, who gives generously, are you with me? Now listen to what this says. If any of you lacks wisdom, I'm trying to keep the message simple today. I'm only going to talk about this one word, ask. Okay? Okay, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God. Okay. Okay, who are you going to ask? God. Okay, so if you lack, what do you do? Ask. Who do you ask? God. Now, who gives generously? God gives generously. Who gives generously? To who? Now listen, it says to all. Yeah, yeah, basically. So if you ask God, he gives to all that, very good, keep bringing it, to all that ask. Because Jesus said, ask and you'll receive. Knock and it'll be opened. He gives generously to who? All that ask. Without reproach. I love that. He's not angry to give us things. He's not angry to give us things. He's not angry to give us things. He doesn't begrudge his generosity. He does not begrudge his generosity. You ever been out to dinner like that with your family or someone else? Oh, this is a nice dinner. And you kind of get this vibe of like, it's 25 a plate here, and I think they were hoping for a place that was 12. You know what I'm talking about? And you start thinking, okay, no appetizers. I know that they've got steak on the menu, but I'm thinking I would really like a burger. And, water's good for me. You know what I mean? And you're like, oh, shoo, snuck under the $12. You know, hopefully they're not. Like sometimes, like God loves a cheerful giver. Why does he love a cheerful giver? Take a guess. Because he is one. Isn't that awesome? He gives generously to all without reproach. It doesn't make him mad. Let him ask, and it will be given to him. Now listen, it says, but let him ask in faith, no doubting. There's a great verse in Mark 11. We can turn there. Mark 11, 20-ish. My bottom right. Okay, here's the backstory. Mark 11, Jesus has cursed a fig tree. Now, it's interesting. There's a lot to say about that. Figs represent self-righteousness. Fig leaves are what Adam and Eve put over themselves to cover their nakedness, right? Figs have apparently the deepest, I read this in the Dr. Seuss tree book that my son has. Figs have the deepest, not from a botany book, have the deepest roots of like any tree in the world, something like 300 foot deep, which is really interesting. Okay, so Jesus has cursed a fig tree. Now, as a side note, he cursed the fig tree because the self-righteousness hadn't borne any fruit for anybody. Okay, that's a Joseph Prince message. That's not really my revelation, but I got it from the Lord when he said it. It's really good. Okay, now, as they passed by in the morning, this is the apostles and him, they saw the fig tree withered away to its roots. And Peter remembered and said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed has withered. Now, Jesus probably wasn't as surprised as Peter was. But Peter's like, hey, that worked. What you said happened. And Jesus answered them. By the way, how did Jesus curse the fig tree? With his words. Isn't that amazing? Jesus didn't curse the fig tree with a chainsaw. Do you know what I'm saying? He cursed it with his words. The kingdom of God doesn't have the same principles as we have here. Some of them are the same. Some of them are different. And we can be ignorant of the principles of the kingdom of God, and we just won't see the things of the kingdom of God happen in our life. God's not mad at us if the things of the kingdom of God don't happen, but if they don't happen, they don't happen. And a lot in the kingdom of God happens through speaking. God spoke and the worlds were. You see what I'm saying? It's different. It's a different principle. It's a different kingdom. Things work differently. The worlds were formed from that which was not. Hebrews 11. By faith, we understand that the worlds were formed by that which was not. God took the world, he made the worlds from nothing with his word. Do you see what I'm saying? And what we learn in science class, which is true in terms of science, is that you can't create or destroy matter. Not true with God. Right? What you learn in science class is if you want to get healed of a disease, the only way to do it is by taking a chemical. Well, that can help you get healed of a disease, but you can also get healed of the disease by speaking in faith. That's what happened. Okay. So the fig tree's cursed. Rabbi, look, the fig tree you've cursed is withered. Jesus answered them, have faith in God. Look at this. They're amazed that that what Jesus said came to pass. And Jesus' response is what? Have faith in God. Peter's singing a great new worship song that we learned. It goes, great is your faithfulness. Martin sings that song. Martin Smith sings that song. Through the years, you've always been there. That's how it goes. Great is your love for us. And Martin takes his guitar off and dances, doesn't he? Okay. Now listen. He says, have faith in God. Then what's he say about how to have faith in God? He says, truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will come to pass, it will be done for him. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe it that you have received it, and it will be yours. You can't understand this by the ways of the world. There is no earthly parallel to this principle. It is kingdom. It's 100% kingdom. And we can look at it, and I've looked at it in the past, and you're like, this is crazy. How can anyone believe this? This is a hard word, like some of the people told Jesus when he told them about his body and his blood. This is a hard word. How are you supposed to get this? This is not of the world. But we can sit here as long as we want and not be part of this principle, and we just won't see the results. God's not mad, but if we're not asking, we're not receiving. If we're not asking, we're not receiving. And if you're not receiving, you're not blessed. That's not meant to be harsh. It's just, you're not. If you don't receive gifts, you don't get gifts. You guys with me? The math hasn't confounded you? Okay, so if you don't receive, you aren't blessed, right? And I felt like when I was preparing this message, I had this phrase on my heart that a lot of the church is tempted by Satan because we're not blessed by God. And I was talking last week a little bit about contentment, and the thing is, do you know that we are in a covenant with God? When you get born again, you're brought into his family. We're called the bride of Christ. He's symbolized as our husband. We're in a covenant with God. Every covenant is ratified by blood, and a covenant in the Hebrew means to cut. And I've talked about burning the ships before. When you make a covenant, you make a solid decision. You cut off other options. When you get married, it's a covenant. You say, no other woman as long as we both shall live. Right? That's a covenant. You're cutting off other options. And in our system and in our culture, covenant is not held up as a very good thing. What we hear about covenant is, you're limiting your options. Are you crazy? But that's not the Lord's system. His system is a system of blessing. When you're in covenant with God, you get blessed. But here's the thing. What ends up happening to most people is that in the church, most people don't get blessed because they don't believe God about asking him for things. Well, I'd never want to ask God for anything. Oh, that's great. Well, you're never going to get much either. You know what I'm saying? And so people don't get blessed, and here's what people do. They do one of two things. It's either you walk away from God to get the blessing somewhere else, or you take up this self-flagellating spirit. Oh, brother, I'm just doing a good work for God today. Just doing a good work. What do you mean you're doing a good work? Well, I'm miserable, and I'm not walking away from him. Is this too hard? I'm happy right now. But here, this is what happens, and this happens in the church, so you end up with people either with this religious sort of mindset of like, but I get a satisfaction out of knowing I'm doing a good work for Jesus, I'm just taking up my cross every day, brother, I'm taking up my cross. Okay, that's fine, there is an element of laying down your life, I get that, but Jesus laid down his life, but it was brought back up. Do you see what I'm saying? And a whole lot of the Christian world is wondering if Jesus actually rose from the dead, at least in terms of the experience that they have. But he died for our sins, but was raised for our life. Do you see what I'm saying? And we're supposed to have life and life abundantly. Okay? And so the way that you receive that life and life abundantly, look, when Jesus died for our sins and bought that, what ended up happening is we all won the lottery. We all won the lottery. You all won the lottery. And the thing is, some people don't know that they've won the lottery. Jesus paid for every person's sin then. If someone's not received the Lord as of yet, if they've not said, I believe on Jesus alone for my eternal salvation, and I put my faith in him today, if they've not said that for me, March 15th, 2005, if they've not said that, their sins have already been paid for, 100%. Already done. 100%, their sins were already paid for, even if they've not said that. Their sins are already taken care of. Another way to say that is they've already won the lottery. They don't know it. No one's read them their numbers. You know what I'm saying? They've got numbers written on the inside of their heart. There is a God-shaped hole on the inside of every single person's heart. There is a God-shaped hole on the inside of every person's heart. And if you talk to them about what Jesus did on the cross, you'll see it on them. All of a sudden, they are locked in because you're speaking to their heart. What they're hearing is, oh my gosh, I have won the lottery, right? And all they have to do is receive it by faith. How do you receive it? By faith. Kingdom principles. You have to ask. You ask Jesus into your heart, and you speak by faith that I believe that he died for me and that he was raised for me. And I receive him as my only means of eternal salvation. That's all you do. It's by faith. Believe in your heart, speak with your mouth. And you don't need a huge set of faith, just a little faith. But it's a decision. It's a covenant type decision. It's cutting off other options. We always have all these other options. I'm going to get to heaven like this. I'm going to get to heaven like this. I'm going to get to heaven like this. Most people say they're going to heaven because they did good and they didn't kill someone. Okay? None of us, the Bible says none of us has done good. People try to do good for a long time. No one did good. That's why Jesus cursed that fig tree. Adam and Eve tried to cover their nakedness with fig leaves. But Jesus didn't curse the fig tree and give no other recourse. He hung on the cross for us. That was the recourse that he gave. And so it's a decision. Are we going to covenant with God and what he supplied? And then as Christians, once we've done that, he supplied more than salvation from sins. He supplied more than that. He supplied health. He supplied prosperity in every way, financially, emotionally, relationally, prosperity. Prosperity in time. Busy is like one of the most used words, I think, in the English language, probably. You know what I'm saying? God's not in a hurry. The blessing of the Lord makes rich. He adds no sorrow with it. But we have to learn to ask. If you're not a believer, you have to ask God to come into your life. He's paid for it. He's paid for it. His grace on the cross paid for it for salvation. If we are believers and you need a better financial situation, your family wants to buy a house, you can't buy a house. I have that testimony a year and a half ago, November 2011. Megan and I looked at our finances. We took a one-hour date to Panera, and she said, let's talk finances. I said, huh. And after 20 minutes or 30 minutes, we realized we don't have enough money to buy a house because we started adding up what would you need to own a house comfortably and actually be able to maintain it and stuff like that. And so we realized the number that we needed to be able to buy a house was 80% more than we made at that time. Or that we had made a few months before that, but basic gist. And so I said, well, I figure we should ask God for that in the next calendar year. Father, right now in faith we ask that our salary would be blank. And we said that number that was 180% of our salary as of August 2011. By this time next year, in Jesus' name, thank you, Father. And this one extra piece of income came in right around that time. It was November. Right around that time the next year, and all of a sudden it dawned on me, oh my gosh, where's that sheet? Because that's that number. And it went a little higher than that. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? In 1 year, or 17 months or something like that, and it's gone higher than that still, not to talk too much about my finances. It's just the blessing of God, right? Here's another one. I started asking the Lord for a wood shop in our new house. I love to woodwork. I want a wood shop. I've wanted a wood shop since I was a kid. And Joshua knows I was building a guitar in our one-bedroom apartment. This was silly. But here's how it works a lot of time in life. We start trying to do our own thing, not realizing that we're covenanted with God, and we do it all on our own effort, and it's really kind of a mess. But I started asking, so I just put the guitar building on pause, woodworking sort of on pause for a long time. And then we moved into the house, and that fall I started thinking, like, not out of my own accord, I just started thinking, man, it'd be nice to have a wood shop. I started feeling a peace from God about it. Delight yourself in the Lord, he'll give you the desires of your heart, Psalm 37:3. So I start feeling this peace from God on it, so I start asking him about it. Lord, I don't want to rush into this headlong again and get all bent out of shape about a wood shop, but, you know, in your time, I'd love to have a wood shop. So I ask him about a wood shop, and then start asking him more about a wood shop. And there's this whole process that we went through that I went from thinking, well, I could go on Craigslist and find this used sort of stuff, to I was praying one day in the spring, and I had this picture of this yellow helical cutter head flash before my eyes. I was not thinking about woodworking. And immediately it registers in my heart as a Powermatic planer. Now, this is like an industrial planer. And I asked the Lord, it flashed in my heart, Powermatic planer. I asked the Lord, am I supposed to buy a Powermatic planer? And there's this great wave of peace that came over me. And I was like, what? So I kept my mouth shut about it. Because, I was like, Lord, you got to confirm that with my wife. Like, she's got to get that on her own accord. Well, a week or two later, she hasn't said anything, but I think maybe I should mention it to her because I just keep having peace about it. I just keep it before the Lord, keep having peace. Finally, I mention it to her, and she's like, man, that feels really right. Okay, here's what ends up happening. Not only did it feel right, we ended up having some bonuses and some tax returns, some different things come in. We ended up having, there was a sale on this planer and a sale on a bandsaw that was related to it and all this stuff, and a big dust collector, which is like a 6-foot-tall vacuum, and that runs on 240 volts, gives you some indication of what sort of dust collector this is. The planer weighs 500 pounds. This is a big machine. It's got forklift bars, right? Now, I was thinking of like the $200 type planer that you could buy used from Joe Woodworker on Craigslist. That's what my thought of how to set up a wood shop was, right? But I started asking the Lord, Father, I pray for your wood shop in Jesus' name. Your wood shop in Jesus' name. I ask that we receive a wood shop from you in Jesus' name. It says we can be partakers of the divine nature, 2 Peter chapter 1, escaping the corruption that's in the world through lust. How do you do that? By receiving his very great and precious promises. That's what the scripture says. And that's how grace and peace is multiplied to you. You receive the grace that was provided on the cross. I love how Brad says it. Faith is receiving what grace has already provided. Faith is receiving what grace has already provided. How do you exercise faith? By speaking. That's what Jesus says in Mark 11. He says, if you say to that mountain, be removed and cast into the sea. So how do you exercise faith? By speaking. How did God exercise faith, so to speak? Speaking the worlds into existence. Right? Okay. Now, turns out we get all this money that comes in for these, well, we're thinking about these tools. We have peace on it. It's kind of funny that we have peace on these. They're kind of expensive. This money comes in. Turns out that everything that we're going to buy, minus the discounts that were on the various things, plus the tax, came out to within one penny of all this aggregated money that we had coming in. Within one penny. And there's a lot of pennies involved in what we were purchasing. You know what I'm saying? Like, within one penny, these earmarked monies all came together. Wait, that's a... Within one penny. A few days later, it was bugging me. I was like, Lord, what about that penny? That seems significant. It was really kind of bugging me. As Joshua would say, it was in my crawl. Now, and I think to myself, I bet there's a rounding error. So I take all of the things to 4 decimal places instead of 2, and sure enough, there was a rounding error, and it's to the penny. Isn't that awesome? So we got these wood shop tools. We got these wood shop tools with $0 of our kind of like actual real income, right? They are far better than any I would have thought of purchasing on my own accord, and they cost us nothing. My grandpa came in one day and said, wow, how much those cost? And I was like, I kind of don't know. I mean, I kind of know. I could kind of make up. It didn't, you know, there's a usually kind of a sorrow when you hand over the money to buy something. You know, I mean, you're glad you're getting the thing, but it's like, that was a lot of bills, you know, and there's a sense of like there was a real trade there. It didn't even feel like there was a trade to us in a way, because it was just like we had asked for something. All this money came in that was clearly for this. Just really great. And so the whole principle is that we need to ask. If we don't know the Lord and you want to know the Lord and have your eternal destiny secure in heaven, you just need to ask. If you know the Lord and you want to be blessed, you need to ask. He'll give generously to all without being mad about it. You just need to ask. What's that? Yeah, you have not because you've not asked. And then there's the second part of that. It's kind of a whole interesting teaching. Yeah. I feel like there is kind of a fun teaching on that. Good? That's all I got. All right. Bless you all. Well, I will pray this. Father, pray sealing over that word in Jesus' name. Pray it bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. Thank you, Lord. Amen.